here we are in the depths of the rains retreat. It's very easy in a long retreat like this to drift off, to lose focus. So it's important to keep reminding ourselves of the reason that we're here and the purpose of our practice and what are the essential qualities that we need to develop. So during this retreat I've tried to focus as much as possible on the basics, the core teachings and practices developing in a monastic retreat like this. One of the qualities which I had a number of times is the development of mindfulness. And as we all know, the Buddha said that mindfulness is one quality which is useful everywhere. Every aspect of our lives, everything that we're doing, mindfulness makes it better. Mindfulness is there when we're studying the Dhamma, bearing the teachings in mind. It's there when we're reflecting on things. Mindfulness is there when we're working in the kitchen or sweeping. Mindfulness is there when we're answering the phone, when we're talking to people. Mindfulness is a guardian of our precepts. Mindfulness is there when we walk through the forest. Mindfulness makes everything more. Feelings feel more. It's more vivid. Touches. Feel touch for the first time. Thoughts become thinkier, I guess. We know them more, they're more clear, more definite. Becomes what it is, more so. It's really an amazing thing to reflect on the Buddha's wisdom, that he was able to identify this particular quality and point out how important it is. Just compare that with our, you know, when we try to work out things these days, we want to work out, and there's always so many different factors, different things going on in our minds, different emotions or thoughts, there's different contexts, is it a cultural thing, is it social, is it genetic, or all of the different factors that are influencing us. And so it's very hard to determine, oh, actually it's this one which is so important. And that's the Buddha's wisdom to understand that. So we can't do too much mindfulness. More is always better. Every time we bring mindfulness in, when we're walking up and down the stairs, and you open a door, you feel the cold touch of the door handle. Open it carefully, close it behind you carefully. Making every moment, every step, every breath, the most precious one in your life. Of course, mindfulness really comes into its own in the practice of meditation, what we call the four satipatthanas. The topic of satipatthana is, for some reason, one of the topics in Buddhism which has the most tendency to spread out, to diffuse out and to become very complicated. And as you know, I'm one of the worst offenders there. I've written long, complicated books about it and given long, complicated Dhamma talks about it. But the purpose of all that is not to complicate things. The purpose of it all is to cut through the complication and to come back to what is the essence of it. And the essence of that practice of mindfulness captured very well by a Sangha in his Abhidharma Samhita. Mindfulness is a quality which doesn't forget that object which it's experienced, and a quality which has the function of non-distraction. In other words, it has the purpose of it is to keep awareness with something, with whatever the object is. Mindfulness is the keeping of the mind with that object. So this is why I like Venerable Tanisaro's rendering of Anapanasati. He renders as keeping the breath in mind. And I think it's a perfect rendering of Anapanasati in English. So the Buddha's meditation instructions: go onto the forest, the root of a tree, an empty place, and sits down cross-legged, holds the body straight, establishes mindfulness. Literally, it almost like means what it means when it says establishes mindfulness. What it means is establishes a presence of mind. It doesn't mean that you put your mind in any one particular place or another. It just means collecting one's mind, collecting one's awareness. And that quality of mindfulness must be found in all of the meditations. Obviously, in the Satipatthana Sutta, it gives some examples: breath meditation, contemplation of the elements, the parts of the body, and so on. But all of the meditations need to have mindfulness. Now, when we're practicing meditation, one of the most basic principles is that we start with what's relatively simple, relatively stable, relatively solid, and we move towards that which is more subtle. And so our grounding is on the basic meditation object. It's our refuge. When we come to that place, we should be, it's so wonderful to come home. My breath is my good friend. My breath doesn't judge me. It doesn't demand things of me. It doesn't criticize me. It's always there. Always my friend, whatever happens. No matter where you are, what you're doing, who you're with, you can always watch your breath. You know, sometimes we get so finicky about the things that we think we need to practice Dhamma. Actually, we need very, very little to practice Dhamma. Enough food to get us through the day, somewhere to sleep at night, somewhere that's reasonably quiet to meditate. And that's about it. Then we can get on with our practice. Because our best friend, our breath, is always there. So it shouldn't be a question of like forcing your mind to be with the breath or making the mind concentrate on the breath. Just like if you walk into a room and there's a good friend of yours in the room, no one should have to sort of push you together to go and talk to them. But it's natural that you want to go and talk to them. There's an affinity. So the mind's drawn with the breath, keeps the breath in mind. It's not the breath, whatever other meditation that you might be using. And I know that in the monastery that different people do different meditations according to what's suitable for them, according to what they find to be useful. And this is what the Buddha taught. So it doesn't matter too much which meditation that you're using. But what does matter is that it has that quality of mindfulness. Soft, persistent, clear, easeful, just being with, staying with, keeping in mind. When we're meditating, often there seems to be things start to happen which seem very important to us. You know, maybe you have a thought that seems very interesting, or you have an itch that needs to be scratched, or you have a feeling of restlessness, you have to get up from the seat, or all of these kinds of things I'm sure you're very familiar with. They will happen all the time. And sometimes they're things that are distracting, and sometimes they're things that are actually very good and positive. They're not necessarily negative things at all. Maybe we have a great feeling of joy and bliss. Maybe we have a great feeling of light arises in our mind, or an insight, a realization of the truth, or something like that. And the real heart of the meditation, the real absolute of it, if you like, is that none of that matters. Whatever happens, just don't worry about it. Just keep your meditation in mind. It's your meditation which will lead you to Nibbana. As the Buddha said at the beginning of the Satipatthana Sutta, Ekayano Ayam Bhikkhave Maggam Sattanam Visuddhiya. This is this way leading to unification, convergence, which leads to the purification of beings, the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, the realization of Nibbana, the four Satipatthanas. So it's a meditation which will do that. It's not all of those other things, whatever they are. Maybe you have a clear and precise and definite vision of what tomorrow's lottery number is going to be. I'll just come out of meditation for a minute, write it down, and then tomorrow I can make sure I get the lottery. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what it is. Keeping your meditation in mind, keeping on that simple journey, one step after another. You know, think of it like you're walking on a long journey. You're walking from Bundanoon to Wilkenya, that's where Paddy's gone, from near the New South Wales, South Australian border, beyond the Black Stump. So it's a long way, but what do they say? One step after another. And so many things might happen to you along that journey. Actually, not really. Actually, you're in rural New South Wales, so probably not very much is going to happen. But you know what I mean. You might see a few cows or something like that. A big marina. But whatever happens, it doesn't matter. What is it that gets you from here to there? And what gets you from here to there is taking one step after another. That's all. Unless you've got a car or whatever. But if let's assume you're walking. You're walking one step after another. That's it. That's all you have to do. So we have to have faith in that. We have to have faith in meditation, in the process of our meditation. And remember, you know, we can do all the inquiry that we like. We can look at all the studies of meditation. We can look at our own experience, talk to other people about their experience and whatever. But at the end of the day, we're just there, we're on that road, and we take one step after another. And we just have faith that this is going in that direction. You know, maybe we've heard that Wilkenya is a beautiful place full of green, grassy fields and cool rivers and all these kinds of things. And we might think, well, where I am here is nothing like that. Here, it's rocky gullies and it's blasting deserts and it's quicksands and all of those things, and that's not like a place that I'm going to. Yes, that's true, because where you're at is not the destination. Where you're at is just part of the journey. So don't pay attention to, is this a desert, or is this a jungle, or is this a mountain? None of those things are important, except obviously you have to get your way through them. That's their only importance. If you're going through a jungle, well, you know, you need the tools that will help you get through a jungle. Maybe you need a machete or something. If you're going through a desert, well, you take an extra water bottle. So those things are important. To understand your context is important, and to know how to keep going in that context is important. But the context itself is not important. Okay, so don't get caught up in it. Don't get caught up in, oh, this is wonderful, this is beautiful, this is lovely. That was terrible, that was hard, that was painful. Just don't worry about those things. Understand what the path is. Understand what the meditation is, and just do that. Just keep on doing that. And we should know what the four satipatthanas are, the body, feeling, mind, and dhammas. Keep bringing your attention to these things. These things are not separate things. It's not like you just do contemplation of the body, and then you do contemplation of feelings, and then you do contemplation of the mind, and then you do contemplation of dhammas. That's not how it works. Pay attention to the first one. Pay attention to the body. Watch the body. What's almost the first thing you notice when you pay attention to your own body is that, well, there are feelings there, aren't there? You feel feelings inside your body. Pleasant, painful, neutral feelings. What's being aware of those feelings? Well, obviously it's the mind that's being aware of those feelings. So these things, these four satipatthanas, are not separate things. They're all there all the time. But in terms of our emphasis, we start out paying attention to the body in one way or another. Postures or breath or parts of the body or whatever. Or else if we're doing a meditation that isn't specifically meditation on the body, like say metta, then we still need to ground that in awareness of the body, as I've taught in the meditation technique. So the body is always the foundation. And pay attention to that over and over and over. Just one step after another. Just one breath after another. And there's a kind of a zone that you get into, which, again, it's not unlike the kind of state you can get into when you're going for a walk, when you're neither hurrying and pushing, nor are you sort of lagging behind and lazy, but when you're just flowing with it. It's just an ease, and you just connect with what you're doing. Again, something I would notice when I was playing music as well. You know, sometimes when you're playing music, you'd be, you know, trying too hard, trying to remember what's the next bit, and trying to make sure you get your fingers right and remember the chord changes and stuff. Other times maybe you're getting too lazy, not really paying attention, drifting off, not listening to what the other people in the band were doing. And then there were those times when you got into the zone, when you were just there, when the music was just all around you and you were part of it. And you didn't think about what you were doing, you just did it. So, that's what we're looking for in a meditation, just that zone, that sense of ease. Just keep on going. It's nothing special. Just like that metaphor of a journey when you're walking along a road. You know, a road can go past lots of amazing things. Maybe you walk past a mountain and an ocean, a great forest. And compared with those things, a road is pretty boring. A road just goes along. But the road is how you get where you're going. So just keep one step after another. Keep watching. Watching the body, keeping the body in mind. And as that becomes more and more subtle, more refined, then the feelings will appear inside that body. And especially the very pleasant feeling of metta, or breath, a kind of gentle, warm glow starts to come through. A sense of uplift. And you just keep on going. You don't get distracted, don't get caught up by that. Remember, the mindfulness is what bears that in mind, what leads to non-distraction. The ekayana magga, the way leading to unification, to oneness. Anything which is leading to manyness, to diversity, is not proper mindfulness. Keep on going, keep on, keep on going. Into those feelings. Feelings themselves open up, and the mind, the awareness reveals itself. The knowing. It's at the heart of things. Keep on going, keep on going, keep on going. And the dhammas, the last of the four satipatthanas, dhammas is, and the practice of mindfulness of the dhammas means understanding, reflecting on all of those other things that you've been through. So this is where you look back on the road that you've travelled. You look at the different conditions. How was this? What was that like? You see, what are those things that are obstructing me on the path? What are those things that are helping me? And you understand that. And the more you understand, the better off you are. You know, oh, how much water do I need to take on this stretch of road? What kind of shoes are going to be the kind that will give me the least blisters? What time of day is the best time of day to be walking? It's not going to be too hot or too cold. What kinds of dangers am I likely to encounter on the road? And the more that you understand these things, then the easier your journey becomes. And just the same in meditation. You understand what the meditation is doing. You understand how it is that mindfulness brings the mind, keeps it there, keeps it quiet and quiet and quiet. So this is really the four satipatthanas, is what this is about. And I do think that of all the practices that are offered in Buddhism and in, I guess, the world spiritual traditions, this one is, I think, the most subtle, the most sophisticated, the most powerful. It starts with nothing more than just how are we being aware, how are we attending right now. And by learning to be with and to attend more skillfully in the present moment, we see all of the elements of the path gradually unfold and reveal themselves before us. So this is my little talk for you this evening on mindfulness and Satipatthana. I offer this for your reflection and encouragement. And I'd like to invite if there's any comments or questions. Sorry, does it have the... What of awareness? I missed that word. Yeah, does it have the... Mindfulness is the bringing and keeping of awareness. Sampajanya is the understanding of the context of awareness. I'm not quite sure what you're asking. Yes, it does. Yeah, very much. Yeah, but it especially means like the Sampajanya is the one that understands this is a cup and it's for drinking, rather than being the one that's just like the bare awareness is more just the vijnana or the citta, which just knows the color or whatever. Sampajanya is one that understands this is a cup and it's for drinking. Does that make sense? And mindfulness is the one that makes you not forget that. Yeah, so mindfulness is the one that's, I'm going to have a drink, and what was that? And then you pour the water into your ear or something. That's mindfulness.
Is sati a more complicated form?
Of what?
Of nama.
Of nama?
Yeah. So instead of nama have like manasikama.
Yeah.
So satikama is a more sophisticated form of how many things going on.
Oh, I wouldn't put it like that. No, the difference technically is that manasikara brings attention to something, and sati keeps attention there. Yeah. This is all getting a bit kind of abhidhamic to make these kinds of distinctions, but technically, no, manasikara is the one that turns towards something. Yeah. Yeah, so you think about it like if you're in a quiet place, you hear a noise. Manasikara is the one that says, "Oh, what's that?" Sati is the one that goes, keeps on listening. "Oh, what's that?" Okay, let's finish my paper.